Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, my beautiful listeners. I'm so glad that you're joining me for my 2016 new endeavor. Welcome to Love Your Addiction. Everything on this planet has a life, you know, and addictions have a life of their own, too. What if addiction is not about what you do, but rather about what you are refusing to be, what you are denying yourself? Love Your Addiction provides a dialogue between you, the listener, and me, Jude Albright, your host. Its purpose is to expose truths so that you can see, hear, and feel how to love your addiction for what it has shown you about you. I welcome you here today to see love in a very, very different light. I'm here to help you recover from the belief that there is something wrong with you, that your addiction has been bad. I'm wondering, how much of your life have you spent thinking about your wrongness? When you love something and appreciate it, you bring gratitude into life. When you are grateful, you become more loving. When you accept your addiction and give it love, you are better able to see what it has been trying to show you about you. With loving, of course, comes acceptance of yourself and what you've been through. And here's an awareness for you. Love never, ever, ever hurts. It's your fear that is coming up. So please forget what the movies and songs and what they program you to feel about love. Today we will be looking at who will you be when you grow up. Have you ever wondered why you act the way you do and the rest of your family members don't act that way, even though you are all part of the same family? Who you become as an adult is often reflected in how you felt as a child. If you felt unloved, and many of us did, or not good enough, or not God enough, you carry those feelings into adulthood and you play them out. There are specific, recognizable roles children who grew up in addictive families display. They are learned roles, and they can be unlearned once the adult understands why he or she chose them as a survival mechanism when growing up. Today we're going to explore the roles of hero, scapegoat, lost child, and mascot as they were discovered well over 30 years ago by the addiction expert Dr. Claudia Black. Loving these roles can help you change them. If you choose. If you want to keep them, so be it. So please join me in the chat room, which you can access at the bottom of your listening page, or call in at 516-453-9181 with your insights. We're all in this together. And I am sure that each one of you desires peace and joy and love and abundance in your life. Let's get together. Let's help each other out. I am not out to try to change anyone. Only you can do that. You're the only one that can change you. I am simply the messenger of truths, the truths for you which bring you new possibilities for a life of ease, joy, and fulfillment. This show is about education and self-help. So here is a bit of education for you. Okay, for example, when do you think is one of the most dangerous times of the year for drunk driving deaths? And no, it's not New Year's Eve. Guess what? It was yesterday. Super Bowl Sunday is ranked as one of the most dangerous times of the year for drunk driving deaths. Police all around the country report the drunk driving arrests and alcohol-involved crashes spike on Super Bowl Sunday. For example, California law enforcement historically sees a 77% increase in drunk driving crashes on the big day in comparison to regular Sundays. And these crashes are often fatal. According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, 43% of all traffic fatalities on Super Bowl Sunday and the early hours of the following morning. In 2012, they were caused by drunk driving. In comparison, the alcohol-related fatality rate for the entire year of 2012 was 31%, according to the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. Very interesting, isn't it? So that's my little bit of education. Let's go to the roles right now. Probably the most obvious thing about growing up in an alcoholic family is that there is almost an invisible sign on their front door that says, don't talk, don't trust, and don't feel. And what that really means for the family members is, don't really talk about what's going on. We'll talk about anything else, but if mom has a problem with drugs, or dad's doing prescription drugs, or drinking too much, or gambling, or having affairs, we don't talk about it. And if we don't talk about it, then we certainly can't trust. And obviously, we shut down our feelings. We don't feel. And that is true for every single one of the roles that I'm going to talk about. Now, before I talk about the roles, I would like to offer you this thought. Most treatment facilities in AA talk about addiction as being hereditary. And yes, there may be a hereditary component, but the thing that is left out is this. What if, before you come here to enjoy yourself on this planet Earth, you make a decision that you are going to choose your parents? And you want to choose your parents because your soul has decided that it wants to experience certain things for its growth. So, let's say as that soul prior to incarnation here, you decide that you're going to pick parents that are addicts. Therefore, you can't blame them. You can't blame anybody. But what you can do is look at yourself and try and understand. No, let's get rid of the word try. There's no such thing. You either do or you don't. Look at why it is, what's going on with you as a soul that you want to experience, that you choose somebody who is addicted, or both parents who are addicted. There's got to be a reason, and there could be tons of reasons. So let's say that that's what you choose, and you decide to be the firstborn in the family where there is addiction. And please remember, I am not talking just about pill popping, about illegal drug use, about drinking. I am talking about any addictive distraction that family members get involved in to stop looking at who they really are. And they do that for various reasons. So let's say that you are the firstborn, and we would call you the hero. And the words that I'm using are terms that I said, Dr. Claudia Black and Sharon Weichscheider, some 30 years ago, came up with as a way of defining how the roles play out in the family. Now, the hero is the firstborn, and the hero child very often brings success to the hurting family. And the addictive family is hurting, whether they're aware of it or not. And this hero child has an unconscious contract to make the family look good at his or her expense. Now, this is a role I know only too well because I was the hero in my family. Now, I'm not saying, as we talk about these roles, that you can't have an overlap of some other roles, but if you look at your childhood, you can distinctly see which role you played. And if you haven't really gotten some help or found out reasons why you chose to act that way, then you probably, as the adult that you are today, are still carrying out those behaviors, whether you want to or not. So the hero on the outside has a projected image of looking good and having it all together, smiling a lot, very often a compulsive hard worker, overly mature, very often the seven-year-old whose parents will say, oh, she's so grown up, she takes such responsibility of this family. That would be an example. The hero is usually liked by others, is rigid about rules because that's how he or she feels they can control, and very often is non-emotional because he or she has stuffed his or her emotions because he or she doesn't want to feel, because if he or she really took the time to feel, it might be pretty frightening. Inside, the self-talk that the hero is doing is, I got to take care of everything. I need to be perfect. And if I'm okay, then I can do good. However, if I do play any kind of a game, I better be the winner. My feelings don't count, so I better hide them. And I really don't need anyone. I can take care of myself. And so that is your strong, usually firstborn hero. I'm wondering if any of you listeners can relate. I told you that I was the hero child in my family, and when I stopped being hero, then one of my younger brothers decided to flip into that role. So we do switch roles, and we can switch roles. Okay, let's go to the second role, which would be the scapegoat. And this doesn't have to be the second child, but it's usually not the first child. And this child is what we would consider the loser or the black sheep or the troublemaker. And this child has made an unconscious contract to be the focus of attention for the family, whereas the hero's unconscious contract was to make the family look good. The unconscious contract of the scapegoat is to be the focus of the family, and he or she accepts the pain felt by other family members. And that's why this is very often the kid who will tell you to F off, who is a troublemaker in the classroom and makes it look like he or she doesn't care about anybody. And that is not really true. That is just the role, the facade that is being played. The projected image of the scapegoat is I'm the irresponsible jerk, I'm angry, I'm defiant, I'm a low achiever, I'm aggressive, I'm withdrawn from my family, I'm very untrustworthy, most adults don't like me, and I engage in early drug and sexual activity. And that is the outside image. Inside, the scapegoat is really saying to himself or herself, I don't need anybody. Well, the hero says that too. I don't need anyone. I hate authority. I'll show you. You can't hurt me. You can't embarrass me. And I'll get even. And I refuse to succeed the way you want me to. So you can see the anger. This kid wears the anger on his or her sleeve. And, excuse me, and honestly, the scapegoat, when the time comes and he or she is ready, is the easiest one to work with because that anger has fueled them to the point where if they are really confronted with this in a loving way, they may be ready to release it, whereas the hero is the most difficult one to work with because he or she has thought his or her life is perfect and he or she can handle anything. So those are the first two roles. We'll get to the second two roles in just a minute. I thought, at this particular time, I would like to wish everybody a happy Chinese New Year, a wonderful time. We have the energy of the red fire monkey with us this year, according to the Chinese Chinese astrology and the Chinese New Year. Also, this is Valentine's Day month, and we are talking about love your addiction. I thought you might be interested in where those little X's at the end of an email or a little card that you send somebody, where they came from, the X's that signify kisses. I found this to be really, really, really interesting. In the Middle Ages, when many people were unable to read or write, documents were often signed using an X. Well, we know that, and we still have that today. Kissing the X, however, represented an oath to fulfill obligations specified in the document. The X and the kiss eventually became synonymous. Isn't that a good one? I just really, really chuckle when I hear about that. And I'm going to give you one more Valentine's Day, Valentine's month little tidbit. And I'm wondering if you know why there are zero scores in tennis and why they're called love. This is a good one also. In France, where tennis became popular, the round zero on the scoreboard looked like an egg and was called l'œuf, which is French for the egg. When tennis was introduced in the U.S., Americans naturally mispronounced it love. So those are my loving tidbits for you. Let's get back to the last two kids that I can describe in the addictive family system. Both the hero and the scapegoat feel unloved. Everybody in the family system, in the addictive family system, feels unloved. They just pick different ways to express it. So as you're listening to the last two roles and you identify it, and you may be living in a situation right now where you are unaware that there is addiction going on, you think it's just normal for people to be acting this way, I would invite you to really do some research and check these roles out in full, because once you change them, you change everything, and you can really embrace the true, magnificent, beautiful being that you truly are. Okay, let's go to the lost child. Oftentimes, the lost child is the middle child, but not always. It can be the youngest. The lost child is the obvious one in the family who is void and lacking in something. This child has an unconscious contract to become invisible and remain distant from the family. In this way, this child offers some relief from the family problems. Interesting point here. As a former school teacher, I could always identify the lost children the first week in school. They were the ones that, no matter what I did in terms of attempting to learn the kids' names, they would be the ones that I would always forget their name or not even remember that they were there or that that seat was taken, because they do such a good job of trying to be invisible that that energy carries with them everywhere. The projected image is, I'm shy, I'm alone, I take care of myself, I'm secretive, I'm withdrawn, I'm a people pleaser, I conform, I live in a fantasy world, I'm very distant and aloof, and I certainly prefer my imaginary friends to real ones. They don't hurt me. I am very lacking in intimacy skills, and I'm often underweight or overweight. That's what the world sees. My self-talk is, I'm worthless. I really don't count. Nobody cares about me. And if I'm quiet, maybe they won't notice me, but maybe they'll like me. Sometimes I have to get sick to get some attention, but at least my animals and my toys and my video games like me. I'm so afraid, and I can't trust anyone. What's wrong with me? And that's your lost child. And the family very often is happy for this lost child because he or she doesn't rock the boat, doesn't make waves, doesn't cause any problems. And when you're living with addiction, that is problem enough. And finally, we're going to get to the last child, or the last role, which is mascot. Now, I say there are four roles, and your typical family is not really a family of four anymore today. And some of the kids will adapt two roles into one. But as I said earlier, if you see any of this projection, know what you're dealing with. The mascot is usually the youngest, the cute one. This child helps the family get good feelings by providing some comic relief. This is the joker. This is the perpetual person who is always trying to make you laugh. This is the class clown in school. he or she unconsciously has contracted to remain cute and somewhat helpless so others can make the decisions. The projected image, this is what the world sees, a very charming person, often hyperactive, precious and cute, and sometimes labeled LD, very manipulative with jokes, joking frequently, lacks concentration, pretends to be helpless, and is seldom taken seriously. Inside the self-talk, the mascot is saying, I'll make them laugh so they'll like me. They'll like me if I stay little and cute. I'll be what they want me to be. I'll laugh instead of cry. I can't think. I can't decide what to do. But please don't get angry with me. I don't like anger. I don't like confrontation. And there you have the four roles. Put in a very brief but specific way. All of these children, the hero, the scapegoat, the lost child, and the mascot, have low self-worth, have low self-esteem. All of them are trying to control their environment by either being perfect, being the defiant troublemaker, being passive and hidden, or being cute, hyperactive, and funny. I'm wondering if you can relate. I invite you to join me on Monday, February 22nd at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and we'll continue with our dialogues, our questions, and our cures. I really do need your support, and I'm asking, let's make this show a very atypical one, like no other about addictions. And please call in with your perspective on loving your addiction. Remember, we're the creators of our own experiences. Therefore, we're the only ones who can uncreate them. And what I really didn't have time to discuss that is a major obstacle in healing for these four types of children is guilt and shame. And perhaps on our next show, I will spend more time talking about guilt and shame, because every single one of these roles that the kids play, there is shame. They take on the role of shame for being in the addictive family. So I ask you, what if being addicted is not about what you do, but rather about what you're refusing to be? What can you now be to create your healthy, loving lifestyle? You can find more answers and reach me at judealbright.com or beingrecovered.net. The sight of truth awakens and stirs us. The voice of truth repeatedly echoes awareness in us. The smell of truth sweetly comforts us. The taste of truth refreshingly nourishes us. And the feeling of truth warmly embraces us. Please remind yourself to stay wrapped in your truth and love, remembering the true, magnificent, powerful, beautiful you. Make the world a much better place with you in it. Choose to change your roles if you identified with anything that we talked about. And please recognize that the commonality in all of these roles is shame. And you love beautiful beings. Happy Valentine's Day and Happy New Year. Bye for now.